afternoon and good evening, and welcome to NDB Media's Monday Night in America. I'm your host, Roger Pelvetin Noriega. I want to give thanks, of course, to Robert Summers Potterton III for his composition of our opening theme. Find his website at rsp3.com. Of course, we are offering advertising opportunities, so if you want a chance to advertise with us, check us out at roger@ndbmedia.net. Go ahead and visit the website, ndbmedia.net. Of course, you can find us on Facebook, NDB Media, and twitter.com/NDBmedia. Word of the day, remember, secret code word to get in is wheel, W-E-A-L. But it's pronounced W-E-E-L, wheel, used in a sentence. Saint of the day, of course, is St. John the First. And in our comedian news segment, ladies and gentlemen, if you have anything that you would like for us to announce, let us know. Send it to us at roger@ndbmedia.net, and we'll gladly announce it in our community news segment. As you know, we are big believers in the census 2020. Get out there, folks. Fill out the questionnaire. It's real easy. You can go through jedi.tax, and at the very bottom of the page, you'll find census 2020. Go on over there. Get it done. It would be awesome. Of course, we have no update on the Stamp Out Hunger campaign. Hopefully, we'll have some news on that. As you know, it's a program done by the United Postal Carriers of America where they collect cans. It's usually on the second Saturday in May, but of course, due to COVID-19, it's been put back and it's been postponed for now. Once we have an update, we will let you know. Good morning. I'm sorry. Good afternoon, Green Beasley. Thanks for joining us in the chat room. So we don't have any real updates on that. By the way, if you have an account with Vudu, they've just added The Founder, Chips, and The Exorcist. You can watch them for free, but there are ads, so you might want to check them out. The Founder, that's the I forget the name of the Michael Keaton. He is in the story about Ray Kroc, The Founder. It's really, really entertaining. I have to admit, I did enjoy it. Today is the 40th anniversary of the eruption of Mount St. Helens. Boy, does time fly. It was at 8:32 a.m. today, 40 years ago, on a Sunday morning, that Mount St. Helens literally, I know I'm butchering the word, literally and figuratively blew her top. Everyone thought it was pretty much the end back then, at least in the Washington, Oregon area. As you know, the ash cloud reached across, I believe it was 11 states, and as far east as Minnesota. It blanketed the Great Plains, as well as numerous parts of the West Coast, Portland, Olympia, etc. Excuse me a moment. I think my coffee may be ready to go. I started a bit late. So I gotta say, I'm going to turn off the Keurig. Of course, the official coffee of NDB Media is Javalia, and I'm trying their medium blend Columbia flavor today. So I'm going to give it out right now, and I'm going to give it a little squirt. I'm really going commercial today. Nestle, French vanilla, there's two. There's three little squirts, and we're also going to do the hazelnut. But what a blockhead. I put the phone down. And I was going to I put the cup down. I was going to squirt the cup. Go figure. So I'm going to mix that one, get it going. I have a smaller cup, so it should be okay. Let me see. I had something I'm going to get into the Great Lakes a little bit later from a political, not a political, but from Science, the magazine. It's a really good magazine. Talking about what the Great Lakes are having to endure right now. But I want to remind you, you know what to do. Wheel. That's the code word. That's the magic word if you guys want in. All right. Actually, I have quite a bit of I don't know if I want to get into some of that stuff. I have quite a bit of political drivel, but we'll get to that in a bit. Of course, well, the United States is opening up quite a few states. And now we have Tropical Storm Arthur. Hey, I thought hurricane season was on June 1st. And I guess Mother Nature's not paying attention to even her own calendar, or at least our calendar. So it is a big day, Monday, today. Hopefully, we'll have some good news. In Wyoming, Yellowstone's going to reopen, well, at least half of it. And there are many landmarks that are about to reopen. You might want to check the Traveler's Guide at USA Today for a lot of information. Of course, wow, Graceland's going to reopen. Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's kind of cool. That's in Southeast Middle America. I don't know. It's the only thing that I had right now. Apparently, Tropical Storm Arthur is setting its sights on the North Carolina coast. That's as of this morning. I don't have any immediate updates on it right now. But, yeah, hurricane season is 2 weeks away. It's, let's see, where is it? Tropical Storm Arthur, which formed off Florida on Saturday, was expected to strengthen and whip the Outer Banks with rain and gusty winds overnight into Sunday, the National Weather Service said. Eastern portions of the state should brace for localized flooding and hazardous marine conditions. A tropical storm warning was issued for portions of the Outer Banks from Surf City to Duck, according to the National Hurricane Center. Arthur was expected to intensify as it moved northeastward away from the East Coast early this week. Wow, all right. I do have the list of names for the hurricanes, but we're going to get to them later. Wow. The World Health Organization is going to hold its first convention online for the first time. Good for them, I guess. I was watching a YouTube video not too long ago, within the last hour, because I was trying to wake up. I know, I'm old. And it was about Jojo Rabbit and the commentary on free speech. Really well done. I'm going to see if I can find it again and post it in the chat room and eventually post it on the Facebook page itself. Wonderful commentary about whether, well, that you shouldn't block or you shouldn't ignore people. You do need to know what the other person says, no matter how much it may frustrate you, no matter how much it may anger you. That is the point of having a free society. The ability to say what you want. Yeah, I find it very hard to listen to many people. But it's a lesson that I did appreciate, and I want to share with everyone else. But we're going to get to it. We got some funny stuff we're going to get to right now. No, it's not joke night. But as you know, only in America. Thank you to the week. Only in America. A Dallas firm has fired an executive for a threatening online rant against face masks. Kevin Bain of Thompson & Knight said that any store requiring masks, quote, will lose my business forever, and boasted of his Glock 21 shooting range results, quote, I have more power than they do, unquote, Bain said. They just don't know it yet. The firm said it was deeply sorry for the situation. Only in America, folks. San Antonio City Council has declared the term Chinese virus a racial slur. Well, there you go. Someone had to do it if it wasn't done already. And wants residents to report anyone uttering it to the proper authorities for investigation. Oh, my God. Good God. There it is. There are border towns. Go figure. Senator Ted Cruz accused the council of behaving like a lefty college faculty lounge, and claimed that both New York Times and CNN have repeatedly and rightly referred to it as the Chinese coronavirus. Call it what you will. The technical and proper name is COVID-19. Yes, we had influenza. We also had the Spanish flu. Did we have the swine flu? I know. I'm the history guy, and I don't know, but whatever. It's called what it's called, but it was never called the Chinese flu. Or the Chinese virus. Never was. It was the coronavirus because it looks like the corona. And it's actually COVID-19. But there you go. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. San Antonio would do this. But, of course, only in America. But be that as it may, it was a good week for whodunits. After a toilet flushed in the background as Supreme Court oral arguments took place via telephone, Slate.com's Ashley Feinberg said her audio analysis points to Justice Stephen Breyer, 81, being the culprit. But there is reasonable doubt. I missed that. It was a good week for wine tasting. After California man Gabriel Moreno hopped aboard a moving tanker truck loaded with red wine and, positioning himself beneath the tank, unscrewed a valve, and left the contents gush forth into his mouth. He was arrested after the trucker noticed he'd lost about 1,000 gallons of wine. It was a good week for air passengers. After Frontier Airlines, and thank goodness, shelved a plan to charge customers $39 extra to sit next to an empty middle seat. It was, quote, never our intent to profit from passengers' fear of the coronavirus, Frontier CEO Barry Biffle told Congress. Sure, sure. That's like when you charge an extra $30 for the second bag, right? Never your intent for someone needing to take their medical supplies with them. But that's okay. It was a bad week for horticulture. After Queen guitarist Brian May, who is 72, informed his 2.4 million Instagram followers, you know, that's 2.3 million more than I have, that in a moment of enthusiastic gardening, he had managed to, quote, rip my gluteus maximus to shreds, unquote. In lieu of mockery, May asked for healing silence from the public while his torn buttocks regenerate as the pain is relentless. Wow. It was a bad week for Yin. After the Académie Française, the guardian body of the French language, declared that COVID-19 is a feminine noun requiring the article la, despite a few faulty les in the media. COVID-19. La COVID-19. Le poo-poo. For either one. It was a bad, oh no. That was a line from Eddie Murphy back in Delirious. He said, I want to learn how to speak French. Because only you can sound great wanting to take a dump in French. Use the word poo-poo. Sorry, that's how old I am. It was a bad week for ventilation. After a now viral video showed a Kentucky woman approaching a gas station cashier wearing a face mask into which a hole has been cut around the nose and mouth. Quote, this makes it a lot easier to breathe, the woman explains, and just a bit in defeating the purpose of wearing a mask. Wow, way to go. But hey, you know what? That's a team player. Maybe not the smartest tool in the shed, but a team player nevertheless. But I do have some serious news right here. And it's in the news, and it's real. NASA, the National Aeronautics Space Administration, wants Tom Cruise to become the first actor to shoot a movie in outer space. The agency confirmed last week that it's partnering with Cruise, who is 57, to make a movie on the International Space Station while it orbits about 250 miles above Earth. SpaceX, Elon Musk's private aerospace firm, is also involved. Cruise is famous for performing daring stunts himself, such as hanging from the sides of helicopters and jet planes. And did you remember the fourth movie, Ghost Protocol, The Mission Impossible? I know they were using wires and stuff, but oh my God, when he was hanging off the Burj Khalifa, still gives me chills. I know. He was out there. And I know they had the best technology and all, but I remember my older sister, we both are afraid of heights. And whenever she was on platform, a bridge, whatever, she would say, you know, we're going to pass the parts or that place in the structure where that one last worker fell asleep or was a tad lazy at the very end, and he just didn't screw in that last bolt. Oh, come on, Alma. She's seven older than I am. She is seven seasons more than I have lived. She's 7 years older, and I've never forgotten that one. And that's about 42 years later. You want to figure out the math? You go ahead, but I'm not. Of course, Cruise is famous for performing daring stunts, as I mentioned. Quote, we need popular media to inspire a new generation of engineers and scientists, NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine said. Yeah, we got to stop sending robots and send people. But whatever. I know it's a bit scary. So, it must be true because I read it in the tabloid. A Florida man has been caught trying to self-isolate on a private island in Disney. I heard about this. Richard McGuire, 42, insisted that he'd seen the numerous no trespassing signs on the island, or that he hadn't seen or heard the loudspeaker warnings from Disney officials who became aware of his presence. He also claimed to be unaware of the police helicopter that hovered overhead because he was asleep in an abandoned building on Discovery Island. When he was arrested, McGuire told police it felt as if he discovered a tropical paradise. Isn't that the island, though, that has, like, Streptococcus or something, the one that's been closed because there's something on that island? I'm not thinking about Bigfoot. It must be true, because I read it in the tabloids. A Florida lawyer has taken to patrolling the state's beaches with a Grim Reaper costume to protest Governor Ron DeSantis allowing them to be reopened. Daniel Oldfelder, who advertises himself as a seasoned attorney with 20 years of legal experience, warned people they are endangering their lives and the lives of others by massing on Walton County beaches. Dressed in a black lined coat and flip-flops and holding his sleeve, he's been heckled and called a jerk, but says his cause is just. I wish I didn't have to do this, but nobody else is, Oldfelder said. So figure. Sup for school. Thanks for joining us. It must be true. I read it in the tabloids. An aggressive chicken has laid siege to a bank in a Louisiana town. Police issued a warning urging residents to be on the lookout for a reddish tan chicken, 18 inches tall and weighing 8 pounds. A chicken? 8 pounds? Ah, oh, that puts the Costco chickens to shame. They're like 3 pounds, but whatever. That had attacked cars in the drive-thru and people standing at the ATM. The fowl, police said, was wanted on charges of assault, attempted battery, attempted burglary, terrorizing, and ignoring an order of the governor. Oh, wow. Oh, you know, everything else was fine, but once you ignore the order of a governor, there you go. That's the worst. Jeez. There you go. The public was urged not to approach the chicken, which police noted has a history of aggressive behavior. Really? Really? You really? That was genius. A website that the state of Ohio has set up for businesses to report employees who quit or refuse work when it is available due to COVID 1,200 reports from 600 employers. Reported workers may be deemed ineligible for unemployment benefits. A host of other states, including Iowa, Texas, Tennessee, Mississippi, and South Carolina, are also warning workers they have to return to work if asked or they will lose benefits. Wow. With gun sales soaring during the pandemic, unintentional shootings by kids under age 17 claimed 21 lives in March and April. Most of the killings came when kids found their parents' guns and played with them. Wow. When I was young, that's not the things I played with, but hey, whatever. President Trump wants the border wall painted black at an additional cost of at least $500 million. Military commanders and border officials have proposed painting the new steel bollards, calling it an unnecessary expense and a future maintenance problem. But President Trump believes a black paint job will make the steel more forbidding and too hot to touch. In TV appearances in 2015, Kayleigh McEnany, recently appointed the White House press secretary, said then-candidate Donald Trump's comments about Mexican immigrants were, quote, racist and hateful. She also called Trump a showman who was not a serious candidate and said it was unfortunate he was running as a Republican. Wow. Obviously, he has no memory. I recall when she said some of that stuff. Crazy. But it's okay. Good for you, Kayleigh. You're doing your job. You're going out there in front of the press. And you're wasting everyone's time. Thanks, Kayleigh. Good job. Good job. But thank you for having press conferences. It reminds us about the perils of free speech. There's this awesome website called 270 to Win. It's 270towin.com. You can check it out. They update it regularly. And we're going to be doing the scoreboard watching from that website for now. And basically, it has several state items. And I'm going to put 270 to Win in the chat room, so you guys can check it out if you would like, and you can play along with me. But the way it sets everything up is based on the history of the state and, you know, the demographics, all that stuff, and, of course, where polls are right now. And the color palette is, there's actually, I believe, 8 colors. There's safe, likely, leans, toss-up, and then there's a third-party color. So, in this case, dark blue is safe, as is dark red. Medium blue is likely. Light blue is leans, and I guess brown? I don't know, some other color. I'm a guy, what the hell do I know? Up for school. Do you know what color I'm talking about? Could you help me out on that website? I think it would be really kind of cool. And yes, it never fails. Yet again, I'm live and I'm getting a call. That's absolutely awesome. You can probably hear it on the phone right now, the beeping, the interruption. Absolutely awesome. I just absolutely love it. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and continue. Maybe it's chartreuse. No, it's not chartreuse. I know that. But it's kind of like a brownish gold. I don't know what kind of color that is, but whatever. So right now, of course, you have the entire West Coast, Washington, Oregon, and California. There, you have Middle America, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Idaho, and Utah, Kansas City, Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, South Carolina, Kentucky, West Virginia, and Indiana, all dark red. And then additional dark blues, you have Illinois, Maryland, state, Delaware, yes, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Vermont. And then you have some aspects of the different codes because Nebraska and Maine split their electoral votes. So Nebraska has a toss-up on one of them, and I believe 3 are red. I'm not certain. I'll have to check that one. But Maine has 4. And there's either 3 or 4 color schemes on that one. But no matter what, you can play with this map. Not unlike that story earlier that I told you about, but this one won't kill you. Oh, I forgot Hawaii is blue. Very dark blue, so it's safe. And Alaska is also safe. So you have light blue, which is Nevada, 6, and I'm referring to the electoral votes, Colorado, 9, New Mexico, 5, Minnesota, 10, Virginia, 13, New Hampshire, 4. Those are likely. And then leans, oh, I take it back, no. Remove Minnesota and New Hampshire from likely and put them to lean on the Democratic side. And Minnesota's 10, New Hampshire's 4. So on the red side, you have a likely Iowa 6. No, no, no. I take it back. No, 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 no. Are there any? Ohio is likely red with 18 electoral. The others are leans. Iowa 6, Georgia 16, Texas 38. And then you have the toss-up states of Arizona 11 because they're just too close to call. Wisconsin 10, Michigan 16, Pennsylvania 20. Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania are generally referred to as the Rust Belt, which you would kind of include Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois in that, but they're part of the Red Belt stuff. Sup for school, let me get back to that. Hold on. Which one are we talking about? I like your comment. Why is North Carolina a typical red state now a toss-up? I did see. You're right. I am surprised. I like this, though. But look, you can read some of the comments. This is a good map. It's just, okay, here's the article for today. This isn't a popularity contest. It will take 270 electoral votes to win the 2020 presidential election. Click the states on the interactive map to create your own. create a specific match by clicking whatever. But as I say, this is what they have as of right now, and I believe it's due to the polls. And right now it is. But you're right. I thought North Carolina should be red. I am a bit surprised by that. Excuse me, my voice is going. You're right. I'm a bit surprised by that one. Well, here's the thing. We can adjust our map, and you can as well. Oh, I like it, Sup for School. I'm guessing it's the movement of highly educated professionals into the Raleigh, Durham, and Asheville. Could very well be, but I agree with you. I wasn't really paying attention to that one. It's not that I'm insensitive, but I would have put that one as likely, if not safe. That's a surprise. We've been talking about Texas for the last 10 to 12 years now. We've known that Texas was going to go purple. And as you know what that means, purple is like it's in play. And even as of years ago, I saw the demographics going that I had stated boldly. I said, hey, you know, the Republicans have to do a better job in Texas because it continues to go the way it is in two or three election cycles. And I believe we're now in the third election cycle. But what do I know? That if Texas is in play all the time, there will not be a Republican president almost ever again, just on the numbers alone, and due to the hyper-partisan nature of where we are right now. I am someone who believes in the future and in people, and I believe that a lot of this hyper-partisan stuff will calm down. I always, you know, sarcastically said we always needed a pandemic to get people on the same side, and boy, was I wrong on that one. I meant it in a highfalutin manner. Yeah, big word, huh? But I meant it in a good way. I said, look, people would come together, and I know, I'm foolish. I am. I'm dumb. So the map library, this is what's cool, Sup for School. Is at the bottom of the map library, which is 2020 consensus. There are several different variations, which is really cool. But as of May 4th, 2020, here are the details as to why it is where it is. A consensus outlook of the 2020 presidential election based on the current ratings of Sabato's Crystal Ball, the Cook Political Report, and Insight Elections. Additional forecasts will be added as they become available. For purposes of this map, only states rated safe by all the forecasters are shown in the darkest shade. Use this map as a starting point to create and share your own 2020 map forecast. As you guys know, we've already scheduled it. We are going to be going on air. We're probably going to go on air at 6 p.m. Pacific time on election night. I will not be a poll worker this time around. I've done it many times, but the commitment that they want is 2 days. Don't get me wrong. I am paid for it. I'm grateful. I'm thrilled to be a part of the Los Angeles County election system. And folks, you really haven't lived until you've been a poll worker at least once. And I don't mean that to be sarcastic. I don't mean to come across as one who's lecturing or vain right now because I've done it. I know. But I do grow very tired, when I hear people talking about voter fraud. And it has nothing to do with it's right or left or middle argument. It's I hear people argue, and my first question to them is, well, what did you see? And then, of course, they my uncle was at this polling place. Okay, all right, yeah, whatever. Okay, but then I press it further and say, have you been a poll worker? Roger becomes Roger. Say, well, then you can't play. You are now the Dick Cheney when it comes to political stuff in the world. You had your chance. You blew it. You are a pawn on the tank when he almost gets all the Marines killed in Aliens as Reese pushes him aside. Oh, no, Burke. You had your chance, Gorman. Yeah. Anyone who cries about voter fraud and has never been a poll worker, quite frankly, yeah, you can't play. I've been a part of it. I've seen it. And I understand the system, folks, and forgive me if I get lost for a little bit, but this is my privilege to do so. Interested and invested in making sure this stuff works. And people are assigned randomly. I did work with the same person twice, but I have done about 12 elections, and only twice have I worked with the same person. It's all random. We go in there to serve, to really make sure everyone who has an opportunity to vote, votes. You follow the rules and you do what you have to do. And it's really easy to vote. Follow the rules. There are times that I had to tell people, I'm sorry, you cannot vote. And I still remember those conversations. It bugged me. It bugged me to no end. But we do have rules. And I'm not the only one enforcing them. There are other people that are doing so. So just remember that, guys and girls and everyone, that you need to be experienced in it. And I know that's stuck up and narrow-minded, but you need to get involved. And it really is genuinely volunteer. It is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I invite everyone to do it. You should volunteer as a poll worker. Forgive me. I know I'm going to lose half of my audience permanently, but I want you to see it from my perspective. It is early February in 2008. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are running for, the crown, basically. And California moved up its election, and we're a player now. When our polls, and I was at St. Helens Church in Southgate, you can look it up, just south of Firestone Boulevard. And we had five precincts in there. It was a huge hall. I don't remember the color of the table that I was, but I was excited because it was extra pay. It was cool, man. It was awesome. But I figured this was going to be important, and I wanted to be a part of it. The polls opened up on time at 7 a.m., and almost immediately I had the station closest to the door, and a Latin couple walked in with their younger daughter. And I didn't realize that they were a bit fluffy, their feathers were out, and I didn't get it. But when they came right up to me, they presented their daughter to me saying, first they said, we would like to vote. And no, wait a minute. Actually, they did not vote. But they brought their daughter, recently turned 18, and they presented her to us at the table saying, this is the first time she's going to vote. That was cool. That was awesome. We're like, wow, this is what you do. And then everyone in their position began to explain it. And I'm sure the girl just was like, can I have my ballot? She was so cool. I still vaguely remember the image. And she voted for the first time. I was a part of that, as was everyone else at that table. And as the day progressed, we were busy. It was a big primary. When I returned from lunch, I did not sit down. I had the provisional table. For everyone who's in California, you know what I'm talking about. And I swear, the other tables, damn them. They were sending all their people over to me. But I was all right. I know how to tell people what to do. No problem. So I handled the provisional table. And it was great. You sit here, you sit there, you do this, you do this. No problem. I'll run the provisional. I did not sit down after 3 o'clock in the afternoon until we were done at 9. Thank God I was young back then. But anyway, throughout the day and especially in the evening, and I'll never forget, it was predominantly a Latin neighborhood and they would speak Spanish. But everyone was there. A lady rolled up in her wheelchair and I was attempting to help her. And I remember the conversation because there was a long line. And I said, Miss, we're going to get to you right now as soon as we can. She said, all right, young man. And again, I don't recall if it was in Spanish or English, but a genteel woman. She said, That's okay. I am here to vote. When I was born, I did not have the right to vote. Today, I get to cast a ballot for who might be the first female woman president. You had to be there. This was a real person. And I was blown away. Reality. She was an older woman. I had not judged her to be that way. She voted always, but she said she was born at a time when women could not vote in the United States. And when she said, "Don't worry, young man, you take your time. I'm voting today." Because when I was born, I know I went to a country southern accent. I couldn't vote. I can. And I have a chance to vote for the first female president. I was a part of history that day. Like her or not, I was a part of that. And I will never, ever forget. And there were other moments like that. There were those that were voting for Barack Obama as well. And I saw it in their eyes. I saw the excitement. I was a part of it. Was it a grueling day? Oh, yes, it was. Was I tired? Oh, yes, I was. But I will look back fondly on that day. I remember when I rushed home for lunch, they gave me an hour. I called my wife. She already had a soup ready for me. And I'm watching the news. I forget which cable channel. And I'm telling her, wow, it's rocking today. And I went back. And then when I got home after 9 o'clock, she greeted me as well. My wife did. Just asked me, how'd it go? And I was exhausted. But I walked in with a smile. Forgive me for saying I was proud. Yeah, I was. I was proud to have had a hand in it. And it was awesome. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry to get emotional over it, but I am. I'm a believer. If you guys didn't know that, you know it now. I am a believer. Be a poll worker. Do it once. You can do a half day. You can do a full day. It's exciting. You meet people. You meet your neighbors. Because, folks, when it comes down to it, the way America was designed, elections are local. And the way it was set up was your neighbors would police the system. Your neighbors knew who lived in the neighborhood. And that's the way it is in most places now. I'm going to reserve my comment for LA County for another day. But I remember being in polls and I would see my neighbors come in and they would kind of recognize me. Some of them I knew exactly by name. And others I just would, you know, glance and maybe get a little bit of a smile, a nod. You know, guys don't smile. Guys, especially back then, you just nod. And it was cool. And then there would be like, hey, someone you saw in the neighborhood you hadn't seen in years. It's worth it. It is worth it. And let me tell you, when you see how the procedure works, the securities that are done, the oaths that you must take, and realizing that everyone is trying to do the right thing. When you hear people say, there's voter fraud. Yeah. So anyway, I apologize. Go out and do it. It's good for you. We're not going to do it this time around because I already did it in March. I was tired. Oh, my goodness. I was happy. We were at a Claremont school because I'm out here in Pomona now. And we had a big team. We really did. We had, was it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? 5 stations where people would register, and then they would come out and use the machines. And then we had 2 people as greeters, and I basically had, how many was it? I had I had 4 rows. I had 32 machines that I directed people. And it was cool because everyone would stand and say, Roger, and I would eyeball them. I would hold my hand up, the person would hold, and I would invite them to come over to the machine to come and vote. And I was running up and down, making sure the machines were working. Helping people when they asked, And oh, it was exciting. And LA County instituted some really cool electronic stuff where you could poll vote. It's on your phone. You could choose your options and you would register, walk in, and on your phone, choose the option, and you would pass your phone underneath the infrared reader and it would accept it. All you had to do was review your stuff. And if you liked it, bingo, bango. Yes, I used that one. And it was awesome. All I know is that we had a massive line out the door, and I kept looking, and we were proud. We were lucky. All of our machines worked all the way through, and we had a good team. I was proud of them. I was proud to be a part of it as well. But anyway, there's another commentary about the LA County vote system, which I'll get to on another day. But politics are local. Your neighbors are the ones that are there doing it. And yes, they do speak other languages. But another thing I challenge other people with is, okay, wait a minute. You witnessed fraud. Okay, you know there was fraud going on. Well, it was obvious. Okay, so what'd you do about it? Their mouths are so big. Dude, those new Japanese flies can fly in there or whatever they're called. Those those bees. The murder hornets. Their mouths are so far open. And I just tell them, look, you've never been a poll worker. You allege there's fraud. And what did you do? You did nothing? Yeah, you can't play. Dick Cheney, get out of here. You screwed things up. You can't play anymore. That's what we call the Dick Cheneys. They had their chance. They screwed it up. They can't play anymore. You're out. Your opinion matters not. So I'm a believer in the system. I've done it. I'm proud of it. If there's one thing, is I trust people to be who and what they are. And people do not trust others. I believe the system works. Remember, you get volunteers. The pay isn't that great. I'm lucky because I'm employed by my employer that allows me the time and I get extra. But it never covers the total hours that I work. But that's okay. I still love doing it. But, all right, I'm all over the place. So, I've gone a little bit too far into that. So, also on Friday, I don't know if you guys caught, but the House of Representatives basically got a wish list of Democratic or some would say liberal priorities. It's really a shame when they're insulting to it when the other side does the exact same thing. Folks, the first round, right wing priorities. And then now when the left comes out with theirs, typical, it's a shopping list. What the hell was yours? It was. It was a massive handout to the corporate structure. So, come on. Political memory doesn't go beyond 2 weeks, but with some people, it doesn't even go beyond an hour. It's amazing. But that's our audience. Hey, it is what it is. Forgive me, I need to refresh my board. I got to make sure everything is there. But, folks, check out 270 to win. I do like it. It is a fair one. It's fairly up-to-date, and you can run your own variations. And we're probably going to be using it on the night of election night. And this is an invite. If anyone is interested, we will be covering all of the debates as we've done in the past. We did it in 08. We did it in 12. I don't think we did in 2016. I think we did one or two. But we're now going to do it in 2020 again. If you're interested, come on, be a pundit. Join us. I'm looking for at least four people to join me that night. And I'm looking for every persuasion. Belief system. Of course, every persuasion. I kid. I'm being foolish. The debates are set up to go. So the days are in. And if you want to join me on election night, just contact me ahead of time. I guess I'll put in a blurb for that one, but it's roger@ndbmedia.net. Drop us an email, visit us in the chat room, say you want in, make sure we have you on our list, and will be compensation. Yes, there will be. I usually don't announce it because I like to get volunteers and then I thank them. Not much. It's two damn good cups of coffee at Starbucks. I'm not talking the $1.99 cup either. It's like a caramel macchiato twice, something like that. So it's not too much, but it's not too bad either. I do thank you for being with us. So the debates, if they go at 6, they end at 7:30, we're on the air at 8, all time specific. So that gives you an idea of how we operate. So if you have anything that you want to talk about in the future, we'll go ahead and do that. As you know, I have the community news as I began this program and others. If you have any community news that you would like for us to announce, just go ahead and email us in advance, and we will gladly announce it. I do have a change.org item, which I am pushing, and I cannot believe that I did not mention this earlier. Yes, I do have my own petition. I'm going to ask you to sign it. I just started a few days ago. It's End Me First Corruption in Government. Yes, there it is. You sign it. I ask you to share it. It's starting off with a petition now. It's only a few days old, and I'm going to see where I can go with this. I'm going to use a bully pulpit. Look, Senator, the one from, just got in trouble. How many people do I have signed now? Oh, yeah, it's still 3. Well, alrighty then. 3 supporters. It's been shared 7 times now, which is really kind of cool. So I ask you to go ahead and sign it. But basically, look, here's the deal. Any person that is employed as a civil servant or any office holder that is paid by taxpayer dollars must have their investment portfolios in a blind trust while employed or entrusted to by citizens and residents of the United States of America. Any and all investments by those mentioned herein may not have direct control of their investment portfolio. They must have any and all investments managed through a blind trust. No more illegal stock trades, no more illegal land deals, no more me first decisions that come at the expense of everyone and anyone that is not serving in the government. Very simple. Do you guys know right now that it is not illegal for a senator to use their position, or a member of the House to use their position, if they're part of any committee that they're about to do something, they can go legally trade stock that benefits them. It's not illegal. It's unbelievable. I want to change that. That they won't be able to make those stock trades because their investments will be managed for them. This is not a strange theme. George W. Bush was the last president to put his investments in a blind trust. This used to be done all the time. We can go back to it, but we're going to start with this petition and see where we're going to go. And then we're going to hold politicians to the fire. When they run, we're going to be at, do you believe in this? This is it. If you go against this, well, we'll probably primary you. In other words, if they win, they go against it, they didn't vote for it, then we'll get someone to go against them. It's that simple. Yes, it's the beginning of a movement, but it's a genuine beginning. You got to start somewhere, and I'm starting now. You say you can't be done. You say it doesn't get done. You don't do it. Well, I'm doing it. I'm a believer, and that's what I'm going to be doing. So, End Me First Corruption Government, please share it, sign it. I would be thrilled beyond belief. And I'll give you props on the program. It's Senator Richard Burr. He had to step down as committee chairman. You got your proof right there. The FBI took his phone because they have to see, because it's not illegal again. But what is illegal is if he told someone else and they benefited. And it looks like someone did. But it's all political because this senator has generally gone against Donald Trump, because the other senator did it as well. And Feinstein apparently did something. They're investigating. I think it's Loeffler, who is the other senator. She's female. I don't know where she's from. I have to look it up. But it's in the same 3 of them. Feinstein, figure that one out. Loeffler, I don't know enough about her, but Burr, I keep saying Raymond Burr, and it's Senator Richard Burr. Raymond Burr was one of the guys that was in the fight, right? The pistol match. But anyway, there it is. I'm beginning to ramble at this point. I don't know if you guys saw the United States Space Force flag. Man, I'm wearing it on my lapel right now. It's a Star Trek symbol. It's Starfleet Command, man. Life imitating art or art imitating life. This is really cool. I'm going to start adding it to Monday Night in America as one of our flags. Space Force. United States Space Force. Is that what they are? Let's see. Hold on. Yeah, United States Space Force. USSF. Alrighty then. There you go. I like it. I like the both the flag and the insignia. It looks really cool. Man, if I had a chance to do it all over again, I would sign up at the United States Space Force. Yes, I would. Come on. Of course I would. As I mentioned earlier, as the program started on Vudu, if you have an account or not, there are free movies for you to watch, free insofar as you consider they have advertising. But it's not too bad. Their advertising levels are not bad at all. They added the Founder, Chips, the new version, of course, the one from a few years ago, and The Exorcist, to name a few. They're on Vudu. Let's see what's on television this week. Is there something? Well, Monday already. Oh, wait. What was the program that was on yesterday that I wanted to watch? Oh, my goodness. I don't even remember. It was at 9 o'clock, I think, on TNT or one of those channels. Ugh. I don't recall what it was. I don't even have the TV Guide thing right now to see, so whatever. But Created Equal, Clarence Thomas in his own words, is on PBS at 9 p.m. Check your local listings. The Big Flower Fight is available for streaming on Monday, May 18th on Netflix. Dead Still, port series of a very different kind, returns to 1880s Ireland. Send up the period mystery. Michael Smiley stars as a photographer who specializes in the peculiar art of the time. Posing corpses. Hey, sounds like Perdition. The Road to Perdition with Tom Hanks. An excellent movie, and I believe that one is on Netflix right now. The Road to Perdition. I believe it is rated R. If you have not seen it, I humbly offer that movie for you to take in. And if anyone does watch it, let me know. And for those of you that are listening to this program, here it is. Watch the movie. Tell me what scene in the movie has in common with what I just read. And we'll get you a Starbucks card. First one to do it. Send us an email at roger@ndbmedia.net. And we'll get you it's going to be a $5 Starbucks card. It's not going to be very much. We're not that rich. Let me see. The Central Park 5 is on Amazon Prime. Framing John DeLorean is on Hulu. Wild Wild Country is on Netflix. The Keepers, also on Netflix. Tell Me Who I Am. Also, let's see. The Lovebirds. That's going to be available on Friday, May 22nd by Netflix. The Painter and the Thief, also available on Hulu Friday, May 22nd. Other highlights, Stargirl. It's going to be on the CW Tuesday, May 19th at 8 p.m. The Split. Every episode brings new divorce drama in this racy series as a set at a family law firm in London returns for Delicious Season 2. It's now on Sundance Now, May 21st, Thursday at midnight. 30 for 30 Lambs. Part one of a two-part bio documentary charts the rise of Lance Armstrong, the cancer survivor and seven-time Tour de France champion, who was destined for a hard, self-inflicted fall. Sunday, May 24th at 9 p.m. on ESPN. So, there's some stuff out there. Check it out. And for now, ladies and gentlemen, that's pretty much going to be it. Let me take a quick sip of my cup of Joe. Wow. I was going to get into it about the Great Lakes, that Popular Science has an article about lakeside living comes with a new premium, flooding, lots of uncertainty. 5,241 shoreline miles of Great Lakes are dealing with flooding and erosion now. I know that there was a major storm in 2018. The Great Lakes do fluctuate by season, but over the last four decades, they've exceeded above and below historic records on a regular basis. Records go back as far as 1860, and since I've stayed within a modest 6-foot range of typical levels. Wow. So I did go over it. Popular Science, check it out. And alrighty then. So I like it. Today is May 18, 2020. Check us out at ndbmedia.net. We're on Facebook, NDB Media, and Twitter, NDB Media as well. Remember, we have advertising opportunities as well. Email us, and life is good. I want to thank Green Bisley, who is there with us. Of course, Sup for School. Sup for School, where are you? Where, I think I've already asked you this. Where are you at? What's your city? What's your state? Just get an idea. I told you I'm in Pomona, California, but I'd like to get an idea where everyone is from. And while you're doing that, hopefully, I will get some information. Let me see. Oh, my goodness. You know what? I don't think I'm going to be able to go to it right now. I wanted to. Really, really cool. Should have called in, pal. But I do appreciate you coming into the program. Once again, I do want to thank everyone listening. My voice is about to go, so I'm going to go ahead and call it right now. We're going to be on next week on Monday, of course, Monday Night America. And on Saturday, Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterback on Saturday. There's the whiny wench. So let me see if I can give you a little bit of the schedule of upcoming programs. Head on over to ndbmedia.net and you'll find it. As you know, D.A. Roberts was on with us on Saturday. That was a blast again. And he's got a lot of books coming out very soon. So we're going to take a look at it. Fandom Access is on tomorrow. Check them out. They're on at 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 Eastern. Wednesday, I'm not sure when the Rock and Roll Shrink will be on. Our condolences to Casey Shapiro. As you know, she runs two programs here on NDB Media, the Rock and Roll Shrink. She is the producer on that program. And she also does The Walking Dead on Sunday night. Our sympathy is with her on the loss of her husband within the last few weeks. She's not on air and probably won't be for a while. So when we have some information, we'll let you know. But, yeah, we miss you, Casey. Hopefully you'll be back soon enough when you're ready. All right, guys, that's pretty much going to be it. We're going to call it. We're out of here. Peace!